Amen. And let the redeemed of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It has been a great day in the Lord. I want to thank Brother Brown once again for giving me the nod. Move forward. Yes. Trusting that you've had a great day in the Lord as well. For a few minutes, we'll be looking at something from the Book of Song. But before we go there specifically, in the Book of Psalm, there's actually 150 spiritual psalms. It also consists of prayers that were used by the church in all ages in worship. It was used as the hymn book of the Second Temple. The Book of Psalms, we normally give credit to David for writing. Although David did not write the entire book. As a matter of fact, the authors were many in number, to include those who were classified as anonymous. But we do know that because David wrote at least 73 chapters in the Book of Psalms, that's why he gets the credit for writing Psalms itself. But those who also gave tribute to the Book of Psalms were the sons of Korah, who have 11 chapters, Asaph with 12 chapters, Heman with 1, Ethan with 1, Solomon 2, Moses 1, Haggai 1, Zechariah 1, and Ezra 1. And the remainder, again, were anonymous. Let's look at, if you will, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 44. Beginning, Nehemiah chapter 12, commencing at verse number 44. Your Bible says, "And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offering for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. And Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited." And in verse number 45, "And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God, and the ward of the purification, according to the command of David and of Solomon his son." In verse 46, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of singers." So this is where Asaph is included in the book of Psalm. "Asaph of old, there were chief of singers, and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God, and all of Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, and in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron." on this evening. We will move forward with the lesson entitled, I Almost Slipped. I Almost Slipped. In the book of Psalms, chapter 73, Psalms chapter 73 is actually a psalm of Asaph. And Asaph, he begins the psalm by saying, truly God is good to Israel and to those whose hearts are pure. We can truly also attest that every day that God gives us, he continues to be good. God is good not just some of the time, but all of the time God is good. As a matter of fact, when we think of good thoughts concerning God, it is those thoughts that help to fortify us against many of Satan's temptations. For the Israel of God, that's you and I. As a matter of fact, we talked about that a little bit this morning in our Sunday school. The chosen of God that are of a clean heart and purified by the blood of Christ, cleansed from the pollutions of sins, and entirely devoted to the glory of God. God, he was good to Israel in redeeming them out of Egypt. He was good to Israel by taking them into the covenant with himself, and also giving them his law and ordinances. And in verse number 2 of Psalm chapter 73, Asaph says, but as for me, I came so close to the edge of the cliff, my feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. So what exactly did Asaph do? Asaph took his focus off of God, and he started looking around at all of the... Okay, we don't know what that's about. But he started looking around at others and also comparing others to his circumstances. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Now, I don't know about you, but there are certain shows that I like to watch on television. Okay, when I'm down in my little cave. I like watching Selling Mega Yachts. I like watching Selling Airplanes and Private Islands. My wife, she likes watching King Pools. And we ask ourselves, how do these people have so much money? I mean, you ever ask yourself that question? How is it these folks have so much, and young folks have so much money and are able to do so much? For Asaph says in verse number 3, I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. For they seem to live such a painless life, and they do. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They aren't troubled like you and I. They aren't troubled like other people or plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear their pride like jeweled necklaces, plagued with problems. Let me back up. They wear their pride like a jeweled necklace. And what it came to mind was the fact, you ever seen folks with gold grill? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. All right. All of their teeth are 24 karat plated gold. and they have these big rope chains around their neck. They wear their pride like a jeweled necklace. And their clothing is woven of cruelty. For these fat cats, they have everything their heart could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil, and in their pride they seek to crush others. And in verse number 9, they boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so, the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. That's part of the problem of the world today. Rather than to focus and look at what God has to offer, they're looking at these fat cats. They're seeing how they lived and think, well, maybe this is the way that I should be living my life. And unfortunately, we as the children of God, sometimes we get caught up in that theme. For in verse number 11, does God realize what is going on? They ask. Is the Most High even aware of what's happening? Look at these arrogant people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Was it for nothing that I kept my heart pure and kept myself from doing wrong? Is that a question that we ask ourselves? We see the wicked prospering, and then we start to perhaps wonder, well, why isn't it my life like that? I mean, after all, God has promised me an abundant life. Where is it? For the faith that you and I, even of strong believers, may sometimes be sorely shaken and ready to fail them. For there are storms that will try even the firmest of anchors. But in verse number 14, he goes on to say, all I get is trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. And if I had really spoken this way, I would have been a traitor to your people. We have to be careful of what we say to one another. That's what he's telling us. We have to be careful of what we say to one another and how we say it. Because sometimes we can make Satan's kingdom look better than Christ by our words. As a matter of fact, we crucify him afresh. So in verse number 16, I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Then one day, oh yes, then one day, I was able to regain my focus. Then one day, I went into the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is a holy place that is set apart for the worship of God, or refuge from danger. And that's why it is so important that we, as the believers of Christ, we come together as often as possible, that we may commune, and also that we may find haven and refuge from Satan. In verse number 17, O God, and I thought about the destiny of the wicked. For in the book of Revelations, chapter 21, and at verse number 8, John, he writes, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses number 9 and 10 tells us that, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For in verse number 18, truly, you put them on a slippery path, talking about the wicked, and you send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. For in an instant, they are destroyed, swept away by terrors. Their present life, and this is where I want to be, their present life is only a dream that is gone when they awake. Now, I don't know about you, but during my lifetime, I've had many dreams. There are many that I wish were reality. You ever had a dream and it's going really well, and then you wake up and find out that it's just a dream? But then on the other hand, there are dreams that I'm glad I woke up from, because these dreams weren't going so well. And what Asaph is saying here is that their present life is only a dream. And perhaps you heard the statement, live the dream. Well, which dream is it do you want to live? Do you want to live the dream of the unrighteous? Or do you want to live the dream that God has prepared only for his children? Now, in verse number 20, their present life is only a dream that is gone when they awake. When you arise, O Lord, that is when Christ comes back for his, when you arise, O Lord, you will make them vanish from this life, talking about those who are unrighteous. But in verse number 21, and I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but in verse number 21, then I realized how bitter I had become, how pained I had been by all and everything that I had seen. I was so foolish. Oh, three ways to play the fool. Sounds familiar to me. I was foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you, and you are holding my right hand. And what I want us to remember on this evening, regardless of how well the wicked ones prosper, regardless of how well it seems that they are blessed on every hand, it's all a dream that they don't even know that they're living. It's all a dream that they have yet to awaken from. But a day will come when they will wake. And the dream that you and I have been dreaming about through faith, when we awake, that dream will become reality. Oh, I think I said something there. Sound your trumpet, Brother Burton. Sound your trumpet. As Brother Lawton would say. In verse number 24, you will keep on guiding me with your counsel. You will keep on leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? For I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail. I may not be able to pay all of my bills. Things may not necessarily go right in my life all of the time, but who else in heaven do we have? I desire you more than anything on earth. Again, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine today and forevermore. And as for me, how good it is to be near God. And for you and I on this evening, how good it is, it should be, for you and I to be near God. For I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you have done, that you continue to do in my life. On this evening, perhaps you are with us and you have not tasted the good life. We want you to know that you have that opportunity. There's five steps and there's one way. Come by hearing his word, believing the same, repenting of your sins and confessing before this August assembly that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and be buried in the watery grave of baptism. And if you're already his child, but you find that you have lost your focus because you have not really fortified your mind with the things that are good and the things that are the way of God, you too can come with a repentant heart. Make your request known and we'll pray on your behalf that God will forgive you, and then you can continue to enjoy the gift that he has in store for you. If you're by the disposition, come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Come from the loathsome way of sin, hide you in the blood of Jesus. Come, for the Lord will take you in, hide you in the blood of Jesus. Oh, hide you in the blood.